KUW 95.9 FM, homegrown in Winnipeg.
Hello, I'm Michel Saint-Cyr. This is number 0858, numero 0858, the Stuff File program, with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0858. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll meet Tim Richter, who is the president and CEO of the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Homelessness is a problem that was created by policy, and we're going to have any hope at all of solving it. We need to address kind of the structural or policy roots of it. And I also got a sense that there is a real thirst at a community level to do something different. And so Canadian Alliance got started because there was nobody in Canada, no national voice that was moving forward and addressing the issue. And I think most importantly, you know, I learned in politics a long time ago that governments will do what they can get away with.
David Schaffner is the PR manager at Pavone Advertising, the people behind SpotBowl.com, where you can rate the Super Bowl commercials. Does he like to be surprised by the commercials, or does he want to see them ahead of time?
Personally, I like to be surprised. Professionally, I like to know about them ahead of time. My role here at SpotBowl, I'm immersed in all kinds of intel about the spots, looking over teasers, looking at the pre-releases, you know, reporting on them, talking about them in interviews like this one. So I'm very, very well-versed in most of what's going to happen on Super Bowl Sunday. Very, very few surprises for me. Now, personally, I would have loved to sit down and watch a Super Bowl and be surprised by every single commercial. Nothing going into the game about the ads, but unfortunately, I can't do that.
Stuart Nolman is in with another edition of Book Banter.
Hi, I'm Stuart Nolman, and Book Banter commemorates International Holocaust Remembrance Day with a selection of titles so we can continue to never forget. Stay tuned later on the Stuff File program.
And there's lots and lots of Stuff File news, dad joke theater, Sir Dudley's Poetry Corner, morning shower thoughts, and of course, an idiot of the day. The guest Slater, the person who told you this was show number 0858, was Michel Saint-Cyr, who is the president of the television production house Group Fair Play. And I have to take a moment to say that I have worked with Michel for more than 20 years in various capacities on various television shows, including one that I hosted for 8 years, that was Soul Call. Michel is one of the best people I have ever collaborated with. Thank you very much, Michel, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File program, a show that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Well, let's get right to the stuff. A 22-year-old British Columbia resident was pulled over for excessive speeding in a heavily modified Acura that police described as held together with duct tape and wishful thinking. BC Highway Patrol stopped the driver after clocking the vehicle at 130 kilometers per hour in a 30 kilometer per hour zone. The early model car featured makeshift repairs, including rebar and duct tape replacing the rear window, plus a welded gate latch securing the driver's side door. Corporal Michael McLaughlin said it looked like it had been chewed up by Robosaurus, and added, "It's amazing that this particular car could go that fast without disintegrating." Police ordered the unsafe vehicle off the road pending extensive repairs.
"Oh, I've seen the pictures of this car. This car doesn't need repairs. It needs to be cubed."
Anyway, the driver received an excessive speeding ticket, faces 3 years of higher insurance premiums. What, he actually had insurance on this car? Wow. And must pay towing and 7-day impoundment fees.
Because if you want to keep up with Mother Nature, you need every advantage you can get. Acura, be one with the wind.
Again, I've seen the pictures. Not this Acura. This Acura is far from accurate. Yeah.
Austrian scientists have recorded the first documented case of a tool being used by a cow. The cow's name is Veronica, a Swiss brown cow owned by Carinthia resident Witgar Wiegel, who uses sticks and brushes to scratch herself with remarkable precision. The cow began picking up wood pieces a decade ago and now prefers a long brush, using the brush end on thick skin areas and the handle for sensitive spots. Two University of Veterinary Medicine Vienna researchers studied Veronica's behavior in person, said one, "We show that the cow can engage in genuinely flexible tool use," said the other. "The findings highlight how assumptions about livestock intelligence may reflect gaps in observation rather than genuine cognitive limits. The discovery could reshape understanding of farm animal intelligence." Well, I've known since I was a little kid that farm animals were intelligent, but that's because I read Charlotte's Web in grade 3. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, regular listeners to the program already know how I feel about cats. They're evil, little pieces of evil plotting against mankind. Well, here is the latest tale. A house cat caused a kitchen fire in Dallas County after jumping onto a stovetop and accidentally activating the appliance. Oh, was it really an accident? The Garland Fire Department responded to the blaze and later reviewed home surveillance footage showing the incident. Video reveals the cat hitting the stove knob and turning on the burner before jumping down and fleeing. Said James Duggar with the Garland Fire Department, 10 or 15 seconds after the cat gets up there, all of a sudden the fire starts. The cat jumps down and runs off. Combustible items on the stove quickly ignited, spreading flames to other appliances, the kitchen door, and ceiling. The fire caused significant kitchen damage but did not affect other areas of the home. Officials recommend keeping flammable material away from stovetops and using safety knob covers to prevent accidental activation. Really? How about getting rid of the cat? Oh, I know what some of you listeners are saying, especially you cat owners. You're thinking that I'm evil and that cats are just little cuddly furballs giving you copious amounts of companionship. But you know what a cat would say to that.
Putting a happy face on things, I see. What an interesting philosophy. At what point did you forget that we are trying to take over the world?
And let's get to our first guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? The Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness, or CAE, leads a national movement of individuals, organizations, and communities working together to end homelessness in Canada. Tim Richter is the president and CEO of the CAEH, and he joins us from Cochrane, Alberta, via riverside.com. Hi, Tim.
Hey, great to be here.
Great to have you on the program. We should mention the fact that I play a commercial, a PSA, done by the Pro Bono Group, and that's why I wanted to get in contact with you. As a matter of fact, it will be playing later on in the show. But I just wanted to know, from a ground roots point of view, first of all, how did the CAEH come together in the first place, and when did it come together?
Well, the Alliance was founded in 2012, and, you know, it was set up because we in Canada were, you know, we had a problem with homelessness kind of getting worse despite our best efforts. And there were places like in Alberta where progress was being made, and, you know, the rest of the country was itching to find out what Alberta was up to. And so I founded the Alliance in about 2012, and we've been working with communities and governments since then.
Just generally across the country, how do we do as far as regions of the country is concerned when it comes to homelessness? Which is better and which still has a problem or a bigger issue to overcome?
Well, I wish I could tell you things were getting better and there were some regions that were bright spots. There's some communities that are doing really great things, but you know, Canada's been struggling with a housing and affordability crisis that has seen homelessness surge. So from about 2019 to 2024, unsheltered homelessness, so the number of people sleeping outside, has gone up about 300%. And, you know, in about the same period, overall homelessness has just about doubled in Canada. And that's really been driven by, you know, soaring rent costs, reduced vacancy, you know, a housing crisis that's been going on forever, as well as a cost of living crisis. Like a lot of your listeners might, you know, really appreciate how much more expensive things are getting in the grocery store these days. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of Canadians have been just forced out of the rental system and into homelessness. And it's really a tragedy. We've seen some progress, like Alberta, until 2019, you know, had been the only province in the country to ever reduce homelessness. Edmonton had cut homelessness in half. But a lot of that gain has been erased by some recent challenges. So we see some cities doing really good work. You know, Fort McMurray, Alberta, has eliminated homelessness for veterans. St. Thomas, Ontario, has had significant reductions in homelessness, has ended homelessness for veterans, but also reduced homelessness by, you know, over 30%. So there's some really good things happening in small pockets.
You mentioned Alberta. So what is the secret sauce that you had that made your numbers better than the rest of the country, for instance?
Well, I think it really came down to a community level desire to fix the problem. So, you know, instead of trying to deal with crisis after crisis, they said, look, this is a problem we can solve. So they focused on ending it. I think there were some strong local leaders. They used, you know, real-time data, built coordinated systems, and then just focused on, you know, continuous improvement. And the other big thing in Alberta is that it had the support at the time of the province of Alberta. That, you know, has fallen apart a bit lately, you know, that was a big ingredient.
When it comes to this particular country, how do we do as far as fighting homelessness is concerned, as opposed to other countries like the United States or countries in Europe? And do you take ideas from other countries to apply to Canada?
Well, you know, I left the private sector to get into this work in homelessness. And I often joke that I haven't had an original thought since I left the private sector. And a lot of the stuff we're doing are ideas we've pulled from all over the world. But compared to a lot of other places, you know, I think Canada is an outlier, you know, in the OECD or among Western nations. And I think we have rates of homelessness in Canada that are quite a bit higher than you would see in a lot of Western countries. In fact, I think we may even have, on a per capita basis, higher rates of homelessness than the United States.
Why do you think that is?
It's driven by a couple of things. The first thing is we have a raging housing crisis in Canada. Like, homelessness is a housing problem. There's a great book out of the States with that title, and I encourage your listeners to look it up. But, you know, since, you know, in the early 1980s, the government of Canada stopped in, you know, supporting the construction of rental housing. Then they cut affordable housing programs altogether in the mid-90s. And you saw with that just an explosion in the rates of homelessness. And so fixing it is really, you know, we got to get the housing crisis sorted.
Is part of the problem the fact that, I mean, we live in big cities, at least I'm in a big city, I'm, you know, major metropolitan center. Is homelessness a problem or a bigger problem in bigger cities as opposed to smaller communities? Because smaller communities tend to, for lack of a better term, look out for one another. And the hustle and bustle of a big city, we tend to ignore some of the things that are falling between the cracks.
Well, I think there's homelessness in rural communities just as there are in urban centers. I think we haven't And a lot of times, we haven't really measured it, but it has been there. But now, especially in Canada, we're seeing homelessness in plain sight in communities where people didn't see it before. I think that, you know, in part because people in rural communities that would lose their housing would go to the cities. I think in part because housing remained more affordable in rural communities and the cost of living may not have been so acute, but we certainly do are seeing it now in a way that, certainly in Canada, that we've never seen it.
I mentioned in the introduction that your movement involves individuals, organizations, and communities. That's a great combination, but at the same time, there's always the old saying, there, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen. Is it difficult to get a consensus with all the individuals that you have to deal with, especially right across the country?
Yeah, I would. I think so. But but again, I think we have to remember a couple of things. One is that, you know, homelessness ends one person at a time, and homelessness ends one community at a time, and every community is going to be a little different in what they have and what they need. And so we work on kind of a community by community basis and teach them a bit of a system for ending homelessness and show them and provide training to frontline workers on some of the key skills they need to have in order to get there. And then we work with communities on things at a federal level, what they have in common, like, for example, addressing the housing crisis.
What for you was the push that came to the shove? Why did you create the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness? Was there something in particular that you had seen or experienced that you decided, I need to do this?
I think it was... It was first recognizing that homelessness is a solvable problem. Homelessness is a problem that was created by policy. And, you know, if we're going to have any hope at all of solving it, we need to address kind of the structural or policy roots of it. And I also got a sense that, you know, there is a real thirst at a community level to do something different. And so I started... you know, the Canadian Alliance got started because there was nobody in Canada, no national voice that was moving forward and addressing the issue. And I think most importantly, you know, I learned in politics a long time ago that governments will do what they can get away with. And people experiencing homelessness and people living in poverty had no voice in the system. And so we wanted to build that voice for those folks.
The website for the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness is caeh.ca. What can people find when they go there? How can they be of help to your organization? And what kinds of things do they learn by going to the website?
Well, if you come to our website, you're going to learn a lot about what's needed in ending homelessness, and you can learn how you can connect and be involved. And, you know, I often, when folks ask me, you know, what can I do to help? I said, there's really three things. Give, volunteer, and tell a friend. So give, you know, you can support the Alliance. We're a registered charity, or you can connect with local organizations in your community, and we can help you do that. Volunteer, again, really we can help you connect with organizations in your communities that are interested in helping out, but we also would love to have volunteers, especially when it comes to our political campaigns that we're engaged with. And, you know, tell a friend. Ultimately, you know, homelessness ends when we change the policy that created it. And communities have systems for ending homelessness. And so if you can be engaged, talk to your elected officials, tell them that you want this fixed, you can be a huge help.
It's a long road to travel, but are you very optimistic in knowing that we will get to the end of the road as far as homelessness is concerned?
Yeah, it's, you know, you have to keep hope in this business. But, you know, I'm confident we'll get there because I've seen it happen. You know, we've seen how Canada can alleviate homelessness at scale. We've seen how communities around the country can alleviate homelessness at scale. And I've met thousands of people over the years who have, you know, moved out of homelessness. And so I know it's possible. The key is, you know, building that movement, getting people together and demanding that change.
Tim, it's a very important issue, and congratulations on spearheading this endeavor, the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness. And I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Yeah, well, thank you. And thank you very much to our friends at the Pro Bono Group. They have been a lot of fun to work with and are producing some really great ads. So thank you to them and thank you to you.
Tim Richter, the president and CEO of the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness. You can go to our website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0858, and you'll find the link to the CAEH's site. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
And now, Dad Joke Theater.
I just burned 2,000 calories. Let that be the last time I leave brownies in the oven while I nap.
Join us again for another Stuff File program, Dad Joke Theater.
There's still more guests, more news, and an idiot of the day coming your way on the Stuff File program. Stay tuned. The Stuff File program is a listener-supported, fan-funded radio show that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Sign up and find out about our rewards program. Being a patron doesn't have to be a long-term commitment. There's absolutely no obligation. You can join today and end whenever you'd like. But the time we have your support would be so greatly appreciated. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show and even your ideas for rewards. Join us for the ride. Join us at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram.
It's garbage day. You're out enjoying your daily walk when you come upon two children rummaging through a recycling bin. One of them catches your eye. You look away. Are you empathetic or apathetic? Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, coming to you from Montreal, Canada, where we share the longest unprotected border in the world with the United States. Take that as a sign of extreme friendship or a warning.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk about commercials in the Super Bowl and how you can rate them. Plus, Stuart Nullman is in with another edition of Book Banter. We also have a Sir Dudley's Poetry Corner, Morning Shower Thought, and of course, an Idiot of the Day. But we have much more in Stuff File News right here, right now. Sweden's music industry has removed the country's biggest song for 2024 from official national rankings after determining it was primarily created by artificial intelligence. The song, known in English as I Know You're Not Mine by Jakub, has exceeded 5 million Spotify streams and tops the platform's Swedish Top 50 playlist. Investigative journalist Emmanuel Carlson discovered Jakub had no real-world presence and traced the song's registration to executives at Denmark's Stellar Music, including staff in its AI division. Team Jakub, the creators behind the project, told Carlson they don't just press a button and described AI as a tool in human-led creative work. However, IFPI Sweden's chief stated that songs that are mainly AI-generated cannot qualify for national chart rankings. Really? I think we all owe Milli Vanilli an apology. Yeah. Austin Simmons remains jailed on $5,000 bond after police charged him with felony battery for allegedly throwing a ketchup packet at another man in a Florida bus terminal on the evening of January 19th. The victim, Carlos Mora, had been checking on Simmons, who appeared unconscious when Simmons woke up irate and threw an open ketchup pack at the victim. Mora sustained two spots of ketchup on his jacket from the 0.3-ounce packet, which officers found on the ground opened with ketchup pouring out. While Simmons denied striking Mora, he reportedly attempted giving the victim a ketchup packet. The incident escalated to a third-degree felony charge due to Simmons' prior 2019 battery conviction, carrying a maximum 5-year prison sentence. Police also charged him with drug possession after finding a chalky substance identified as cocaine. Wow. A possible 5 years in prison for throwing a simple ketchup packet. It better have been Heinz.
I'm sorry, but I can't be seen eating non-Heinz ketchup.
Of course.
Also in Florida, Fort Walton Beach police arrested Fang Wong for battery on a suspected official after she defecated toward police officers during an attempted detention. The incident occurred at Palms of Emerald Coast Massage Parlor when a Department of Health employee was conducting a routine inspection. According to police, Wong became upset and yelled at the inspector before trying to force them from the business. When officers attempted to detain Wong, she defecated toward them to avoid arrest. Police said this was a follow-up investigation connected to previous search warrants at the same location when it operated under various other names, including Blue Bay Massage and Spa, New Magnolia Spa, and Classy Spa. Oh, please, tell me that the last name, Classy Spa, was one of the owner's attempt at irony. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Back in my youth in Sunday school, around the holidays, I was tapped for many years to play a shepherd in the Christmas pageant. Basically, I would recite the full scripture from memory, part of which Linus was quoted saying in A Charlie Brown Christmas. So I know a thing or two about the pageantry of the holidays. However, this one baffles me. The Rottenburg-Stuttgart Diocese of the Roman Catholic Church said they deeply regret this and emphasized that at no time was it their intention to provoke or disparage central tenets of faith. What was their regret? Well, the regret was regarding a nativity scene during a live broadcast of a Christmas Eve Mass at St. Mary's in Stuttgart, Germany. During the service, Thomas Steiger, the officiating priest, said, "The nativity scene shows a real human being lying there miserable, naked and exposed. In the manger was a real adult woman in a fetal position covered in rice paper, simulating the vernix that covers a newborn infant. Dubbed Slime Jesus by critics, the scene sparked controversy. Said the diocese, "It has become clear that the chosen form of presentation caused bewilderment, incomprehension, and anger among many people, especially on an important holiday such as Christmas." Well, that statement seems a little bit wordy. Surely there could be something from the Bible that is more succinct.
"Forgive them. They know not what they do."
Oh, different holiday. That's from Easter. My bad. And now, this.
The Stuff File presents Sir Dudley Piddley Havisham Sedgwick Smythe's Poetry Corner.
There once was a runner named Dwight, who could speed even faster than light. He set out one day in a relative way and returned on the previous night.
And let's get to our next guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program. Each and every year when the Super Bowl rolls around, there is excitement not only for the game, but also for the long-heralded premieres of the Super Bowl commercials. There is a website where you can vote on your favorite or least favorite ads. It's called spotbowl.com. David Schaffner, who is the public relations manager with Pavone Advertising, joins us from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, via Riverside.com. Hi, David.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the program with us. Now, we spoke, I guess it was 18 years ago, back in